The affiliates income was up about 16% compared to last year. I cannot speak to whether or not that's a timing situation or they happen to land something new. I haven't been able to reach out and investigate that. Their cash is lower than it usually is, but we also know that their big renewal is coming up in the next couple of months. So the timing seems about right for when they would have a big influx of cash in early fall. The national office, of course, is continuing to struggle with the cash flow. Unpaid central services, it's something that, it's not changing. KPFK, KPFT, WBAI are unable to pay central services. There has been a little bit of a delay from KPFA and WPFW based on their cash situation, but they are still funding and very committed to doing so. The one gap that we did have at WBAI that has improved this year was that they were unable to pay their health benefits. We just had to draw the line and say that's not optional. And so they have really been sticking to that each month. They're still behind 3 months. That insurance has been paid, but that's just another reason. That would be over $30,000 that the national office has fronted for them to be able to pay that insurance instead of paying other bills that the national office might have, whether it's PBS or, legal fees, or even the commercial liability that applies to all the stations, things like that. But WBAI, they are funding their payroll and their helps in a timely manner. It makes me nervous. I know they always seem to pull it out. Cash is still very tight there. I think there was about $5,000 or $6,000 earlier today when I looked. Of course, that can change, pretty quickly. But they do have a lot of outstanding payables. They're kind of just, they're not in the same situation as, say, KPFK or the national office. But I think they easily could slip into that. And so that's something that we're watching very carefully. And hopefully these next couple of months. So we'll see a turnaround. I know summer is sometimes challenging with fundraising, but we need to see a turnaround in the daily deposits that are coming in there to try to clean up some of that past due AP. When we talk about funding payroll, people have said, "Oh, well, you can't operate just to fund payroll," but it's kind of the chicken and the egg. I mean, what are you going to do? What right now? My main concern, cash-wise, is of course KPFK, KPFT, and WBAI. I will say that WBAI tends to be able to pull it out, but this dip in or this increase in their aged payables the past couple of months has put them back on my radar as being a little concerned. Their tower rent is very high, as you can imagine. So it's more on my radar now than it necessarily was, a few months ago. KPFK is in the same situation it's been being in. Only potentially worse because we're not in a fund drive right now and haven't been in July. So, and then of course KPFT, if they're in the same situation, they have got to fundraise to get out of this. We're starting to. I have not talked to staff there yet, but I'm sure because I was telling Stephanie, utility bills are going to start coming in with the new facility. There are going to be things that we can't avoid paying there, and they're, going to start being in the same position of having these aged payables that are piling up that they can't keep up with if we don't get some type of fundraising plan going there. I would say that you know, all three of these are at risk for being able to fund payroll and health in August. So we just have to watch it. It's a day by, you know, probably weekly I can tell, you know, how I'm feeling about that. Let's take a break there and people kind of ask some questions and see if they want to go to a specific statement and discuss something. Do you have any questions?
Kim with a stack.
I'll take a full stack. Kim, and who else?
Chris.
Anyone else? I'm going to put myself on and then we'll come back. Go ahead, Kim.
Just a quick question. Did we pay payroll, health pennies, electric, and call center, you know, like yesterday's?
Yes.
All of that were paid to the end of this month.
The payment that was due for the electricity and the payment plan were paid last week.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, for, and payroll and health were funded, yes.
Okay.
And then,
all right.
The overage for the was paid as well.
So we just got to sweat August 15th now.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
You got to sweat every 2 weeks. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, I have like six questions, James, but I don't want to monopolize the proceedings. So I'm going to take one bite at a time. They're all fairly different questions. So my first one is that looking at just the June statement, and I realized that, you know, taking the month out of context in the context of the year is probably not the best idea. But June seems to be a rather large aberration with the possible exception of December, which has a similar characteristic to it. The revenues that we're showing for that month are about 50% over nominal. And as a result, the network showed a gain for that month. That's a nice place to be, obviously, but if we were doing $1 million a month or $900,000 a month, we'd be at over $10 million for the year, and obviously we're even close to that unless some massive bequest comes through to make up the difference. So my question is, which stations were in Fund Drive in June? All of them? Or were there any stations that were not in Fund Drive in June?
Well, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that WPFW was in Fund Drive in June because they were not able to plan to in May. So there might have been a little bit of cross, but definitely a lot of June was Fund Drive for them. I cannot remember, though, if they were able to start in a portion of May. KPFK was definitely in Fund Drive in June. KPFT was not. I believe KPFA was not. KPFT and KPFA were in May.
Okay, thanks. So about half the stations, roughly speaking. Okay, thank you.
Do you want to leave it there, Chris, or do you want to do one more?
I'll pass for now. Sorry.
I was just saying, it's my understanding. I don't think June is a regular Fund Drive month, but we had two, you know, situations there that made it unique.
Okay. Thank you. I'll circle back, James, after you're done. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. So I'm going to go to myself now, I want to start by saying, of course, reiterating again, that WBAI is using a different system now where we Fund Drive 2 or 3 hours every day. So our numbers should be kind of even from month to month, so we don't have those spikes anymore where you have a fund drive and you spike and then you have to make that last for a few months. My question is, Julia, and maybe it's unfair to you, more of a technical question, but as far as you know, or Stephanie, how are we doing on the build out at KPFT? And, you know, we were told that if they could get back on the air and live, they could resume their fundraising or live fundraising. There were high hopes that that would bring in some good results. Where are we in that?
Mr. Chair, this is Susan, and I may be better able to
answer. I was waiting, Susan, I was waiting for somebody else to answer you. Mr. Chair was my father, I want to say, but no, he wasn't. Go ahead. Continue your point, please.
Enough hilarity, okay? Okay, where we stand on the building is that some of the work has already been able to proceed. So some AC, some electrical. Sandy, the IGM, has gone out for bids. We have several contractors that we're expecting to come in with bids this week and would be able to proceed promptly after that. We can get the critical work done with the funds that are available and are still in escrow with Arthur. It is our hope that we can be back in the station and have a real launch of the revived programming by Labor Day. So that is what our time frame looks like, where all systems go. For the capital campaign, what we're looking at doing is paying for those things that are not essential but are aspirational, if you will. So we're looking at that to go in parallel with the build-out that's happening already on a fast-track basis. And then we also, of course, as you can hear, we need to really beef up our on-air fund drives. They have collapsed. And there are conversations going on about how to rebuild the grid so that we have more popular programming during the week. It is particularly week time programming that has collapsed. And so it's our hope that we can launch both the building and on air programming and new grid at Labor Day.
Susan, I appreciate your answer, and as my question was directed to Julia or Stephanie, I'll just ask if that sounds right to them or if they have anything to add.
This is Stephanie. I was going to defer to Susan to answer that question anyway because she's involved on it on pretty much a daily basis, but she said we're getting bids from licensed contractors and working with the city with permits and getting everything that we need so we're not looking at trying to fix things like that after the fact. So we just want everything lined up and ready to go and following the rules and protocols as put out by the great city of Houston.
Yeehaw!
Julia, did you want to add anything?
No, I have been out of the loop recently. I know that, there was a lot of communicating going on around the time of the purchase, and so I have, shared with the crew that's working on this, what I've heard from the insurance company about, permitting and making sure that we have a, certificate of occupancy and pass on, making sure that, people are not going out and spending money without making sure that, that there is a centralized person, some type of system in place, making sure that, the funds are available and can be transferred from the escrow account so people can be paid. I don't think much spending has occurred I mean, I will say we have made one transfer, but it sounds like that's potentially going to pick up soon, and we'll get more into that.
I'm not looking for. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Go ahead.
No,
that's fine.
Go ahead.
Okay. Nope, I'm finished. Oh, okay. I'm not looking for a gotcha, aha type of moment in the future, but does that Labor Day, you know, I'm not asking you to predict in a solid way, but does that sometime around Labor Day to be back on the air live, does that sound plausible, good, doable?
Yeah, I think it sounds plausible, good. I believe that we will make that happen. But
again, Susan, this is for Julia or Stephanie. You're the one who said it, and I'm not doubting it. I just wanted to see if the others agreed.
No. And I will be interested to hear if they think I'm wrong.
Sounds like you know as much about it as they do, at least. But I just want to hear from them what they think. Stephanie or Julia, is this Labor Day sound right? Maybe, you know, I'm not asking for anything definite, but is that a possibility? Go ahead.
I will say that seems like a stretch to me, but I am not involved in the day-to-day conversations that they're having right now like Susan is. And so, you know, you just have to take my hesitation with a grain of salt, because I am not in the day-to-day currently.
But I appreciate that.
That's going to be here pretty fast. I mean, Labor Day is what? It's only a
month
away,
yeah. Month and a week, maybe, yeah.
And I think, you know, there were just some concerns on our part about making sure that security is system and entry and things are established and set up before people start coming and going with that type of equipment in the facility. And just safety of an individual being there alone and cameras not being set up or the new key system not being installed and things like that.
Got it. Okay. Anything to add, Stephanie, or are we good?
No, I mean, I think that they definitely, I mean, everybody there has a gumption to know they're going to go ahead and move forward and get on air. There's, you know, Susan was saying we're making a wish list of the ultimate of what we want it to be, and we'll still continue to raise funds. But being able to get the, you know, at least one studio up and running and all the safety protocols put in place, I think that's doable. But we definitely will not have all the money that we need to bring the building where we want it to be by Labor Day. But just being on the air will be able to give us a good kickoff of community outreach for the capital campaign.
And that's why I was focusing on the air, because the idea was that that's how they could get the money rolling in again, is being live on the air.
Mr. Chair, if I could add one more thing.
Go ahead, Susan. We owe you one. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. We've had a major donor come in for the security gate.
Yay.
Sounds good.
Fantastic. Yep.
That sounds real good.
I do feel very good that Susan is reporting on this, because I have confidence in her leadership, what's going on there.
So are you. Thank
Very
you.
Good. All right. Is there anyone else who hasn't had a question who would like to ask a question now before I go back to Chris?
Arpal?
Go ahead. And then let me see if there's anybody else. Anybody else? Okay, let's go ahead, Arpal, and then we'll go back to Chris.
Okay. A couple of little things. One, the bottom line, consolidated line 152, we're showing that, 28.6, whoops, it flipped, That 28.6 is for June, and there appears to be a year-to-date actual that is not positive. Is that right? Consolidated line 152, it looks like there's a year-to-date of, what is that, 9? Oh, I can't see it. It's too small. 965 in the red?
Correct. And okay. I had, my head just went out, so I don't have anything in front of me. But, yes, there is a deficit year-to-date. I'm just trying to reconnect.
Of 965.
Well, KPFK is about half of that.
So, since she didn't,
I'm just waiting for Julia. I'm waiting for Julia to reconnect so she can see what you're looking at.
I didn't have
at.
A comment. I mean, no, they are correct.
Okay.
I'm still trying to log back in.
Okay. And the sometimes scrolling around in these things can get you going nuts. And for WBAI, the year-to-date deficit is 264.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
I'll have something later on, but thank you for now.
No problem.
Thank you, Paul. Chris, why don't you go ahead with your next question?
Okay. Both my questions have to do with the national office. Both of my next two questions, I should say, have to do with the national office. So I'll ask them in order. First, a general observation. As was just mentioned by our Paul, our year-to-date loss is about $1 million. Roughly half of it is due to operations at KPFK. Roughly a quarter is at WBAI. And then the balance is at the national office. So I want to focus my attention on that, because historically the national office hasn't been a source of loss. It's generally been gainful because of for accrual reasons. You know, the stations owe the national office a lot of money, and even if they're not paying it, it shows up as an accrual gain. And so generally the national office has been gainful. Now, I just wanted to quickly mention as an aside that that's not all that beneficial to the organization to reflect it that way, because the national office is just, you know, an accounting function of the organization. It's better to leave those gains if they exist in the individual units. But having said that, my question is you know, what we're seeing here is losses starting to pile up in the national office because of an imbalance between the accrual income and the actual expense. And that's different than what has happened historically. We voted to change the revenue structure for the national office to 15% revenues. That was never implemented, but even if it had been, I'm confident at this juncture that that would actually be increasing those losses. And I understand that the national office, and particularly NEDA, has taken on a lot more in terms of functionality for the organization, and that's driven up the expenses. I just want someone to comment, preferably the CFO, since she's part of NEDA, on what the drivers are in this particular case. The revenue's been folded back in from the affiliates. I can see it there. It's reported as income in line 12. So that's not it. Is it were there some other revenue? We reallocated some revenues from the, what was it? I can't remember what the term is. The secondary frequencies that are available for sale, those were put through the
SCA.
Individual stations. Thank you. Those were put through the individual stations. So those drove up the numbers for the individual stations and the numbers down for the national office. But are there any other reasons for the imbalance, the growing imbalance at the national office? Is there something, some overarching thing that I'm either missing, I'm just failing to mention at this juncture?
Well, the one major thing for this fiscal year is the close to $100,000 in tax lien that occurred a couple of months ago. It was like, what was that, like $95,000?
If you're right, on line
76. So, yep.
I see. Column C. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got it. Column C. I see it.
Mm-hmm. That's the big we still are, you know, experiencing a high amount of legal fees. We did, fortunately, if you look on line 65, you'll see that we received a refund in June.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, for the American Arbitration Association, which I was a little surprised. I didn't know that we were going to be getting that, so that was helpful. But again, we're still, even with that, we're $22,000 over the prior year, and it's still going. Those are the main two things. But then, you know, we have situations where, what was it I was looking at earlier, you know, like that was down. Those have been the two larger focus areas. So if we actually adjusted last year for, and I apologize, I'm just taking a minute to back this out. So if we take out the PPP loan, you know, we were just under, you know, right at around 13,000 in the red for 237, you know, about 95, you know, half of that, or a little less than half, is the taxes. So even just the, if you look at the, total salaries, you know, that's up 90,000. By the time you look at, you know, the health benefits and the salaries. So right there between that 90,000, am I reading that correctly? About 90,000. That's 100 between those two line items, the tax lien. Fortunately, fingers crossed, that's not going to be a repeat activity for the next fiscal year.
Right. I try to back those extraordinary items out. What about cell W67?
That was where we had the fees for the in last spring, where we did additional audit work. Because remember, we did two audits in one short spring season, and that
right.
was the we have to pay additional staff to do that work.
Of course. Okay.
Go back and look.
So that.
Oh, and then we also picked up. We had to transfer over the accounting fees that were being charged directly to KPFA. That was 6 months worth of KPFA. 5 months worth of KPFK audit fees.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Okay.
But, you know, when
catch
we
up
them up day to day.
Yeah. Okay. So that's also kind of an extraordinary item. Okay. Thanks. That explains it. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's it for that section. I have a few more questions, but I'm
going to see if anybody else has one, Chris, and then we'll come back to you. Any other questions?
Okay.
Anybody else?
I just have a comment, this is Kim, that, you know, just keep in mind that when you're comparing this year to last year has all that PPP money in it.
Yeah, I'm ignoring that, but yes.
Yeah.
It's actually really difficult to read in particular, the National Office one, because of that fact. It's a very difficult report to read because of the large, quote, loss, unquote, that's showing for last year. But I'm kind of mentally backing that out.
I don't know why. I thought it was an error in the way that it was recorded that way, but I was told that we were asked to record it that way, you know, so that you could see that that's when it was forgiven. But that's a 2020. I mean, when you see the 2021 audited statement, you know, that nets out the negative with you're not going to see that.
Yeah, I think all those losses have a reciprocal gain at the individual units. Is there any, James, was there anybody else that wanted to get back on the stack?
I'm about to ask that question, and with a reminder that we're coming up fairly close to our time certain, I'm going to ask for an extension so we can get to some of our additional items that have been just languishing at the end of our agenda.
So moved. Bye, Kim.
I'm going to ask right now to extend for 15.
So moved.
Till 10:30. Is there any objection?
What? Okay, you're moving to.
Extend the meeting till 10:30.
Extend the meeting time by 15 minutes.
Correct.
Okay.
And while you're working that up, I'm going to ask Chris if you'll ask your questions quickly, and if we could hopefully move quickly.
I have
through
it,
any
so why don't we
questions.
See if it's approved?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
No.
Well, the motion is to extend the time for this meeting by 15 minutes.
Any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that done. And Chris, you were about to ask. I was asking if anybody else had a question. I didn't hear anyone. But let me ask again. Any other questions?
I'll have a question at the very end.
Okay. Well, let Chris ask his next question, and then we'll go back to you, Paul. Good, Chris.
Okay.
You want to wrap up your questions? Can you consolidate them now?
Yeah, actually, I think the other ones can just be I'll just waive them for now. I think they're kind of not as essential. This one, I think, will be of interest to the entire body. So my question was regarding the June revenue numbers for KPFK. So this would be shown on AA17. And what I noticed is that revenue number is actually considerably higher than any other month for the year, which is good. Obviously. And
I'm sorry, I didn't follow where you said you were looking.
I'm on the KPFK tab.
Mm-hmm.
AA17.
What? Oh,
yeah.
8.
Alpha 17?
Alpha 17, yes, thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I wasn't catching that.
That's okay. Not a problem. I'm on speakerphone, so it's a little bit bleary. So what I'm seeing there is that KPFK is showing 181 roughly for June. First of all, I have two questions regarding that number. I know that they were in Fund Drive. That's already been stated. Do we have a number for revenue generated per day of Fund Drive for those days in which they were Fund Driving in June? That's question number one. Okay, please.
5,300.
Okay, thank you. And the second question is, I show that they're actually nominally gainful for that month too. So revenues were actually in line with expenses. I don't know how to phrase this elegantly, so I'm going to inelegantly phrase it. compared to the other months, that number of dollars per day doesn't seem any higher. So am I to assume, based on that, that the number of fund drive days per day was lower in all of those other months, or is that just a wrong assumption?
Stephanie, correct me if I'm wrong. Did those major gifts come in June, or did they come in July? Do you remember?
I believe that one did come through in June.
Right, and that was $25,000 or so?
Ah.
Oh, right. We have that.
Yeah, and
then
it was going to give 30, and then I think it was actually 23.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And in June, they were pretty much in a fund drive every single day.
Yes, 32 right. days.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. 32 days in June. That's a good name for a song. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, I will say that I need to get input, but I don't know that major gift, it probably needs to be moved out of listener support and down into major donors.
Kim, with two stack.
Go ahead, Kim.
I mean, that's tricky because the person walked in and said this is for flashpoints. So that's why it's in there. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't go in our daily tab. So, but right. just, you know, for Chris and McFadden here, that's a shout out to Flashpoints.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Because otherwise we didn't get much.
James, I'm going to let the rest of my questions lie. So thank you. I appreciate everyone's help on those questions.
I have a point of inquiry on that last matter. Was that, I heard Kim say walk-in, was that individual who walked in with a $30,000 cash, I believe, donation? And was that ever resolved, whether that was a good donation and that was going to stand, or I understood there was some back and forth on that.
I have no idea. I think it was in the bag.
It was a credit card.
It was a credit card, okay. And are we letting that stand? I mean, there was some question as to whether that person was actually able to make such a donation, or did that get resolved?
The credit card went through, so she made $15,000 and then was going to come back with another $15,000. And then changed her mind, and I believe came back with just about another $7,000. And then recently, she just came back in with another $15,000.
Has anybody checked on her living circumstances and her?
Excuse me. This is. Well,
there was some open discussion about her. Anyway, yeah, I'll leave it alone. I'll follow that up privately.
I've sent her a handwritten thank you note and also left her a phone message just thanking her for her generosity.
Good. Okay. Chris, if you're going to leave everything else alone, did anybody else have anything else on the May and June financials? Julia, did you want to? I'm sorry, was that Mac?
No, that was our Paul. I want to ask at the end.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Paul.
All right. Yes. Now that we've done this, can we now release these June financials to the world?
Julia, is there any reason that we should not use our normal procedure, which is now that we've discussed this and we think they're in pretty good shape without any major errors, we can send them out to the local finance committees and to the of course, the general managers have already seen them.
I mean, I think it would be wise for them to go with the minutes so that people can see, you know, what was discussed. But
James, I have a small objection to that idea. Can I state it?
Let me just see. I don't think Julia was quite finished, but then we'll see. We'll hear you, Chris.
I feel like we've had this conversation before. I don't know who, when RPAL says to the world, I think there was some debate about this a couple of meetings ago, and I just can't remember. So you know, it's hard for me to follow what your policies are with that. So, I mean, I'll obviously send it out to the units myself, but I'll leave that.
Well, I'll just note that this entire conversation has been at an open meeting that's being streamed, so certainly nothing we're saying here is subject to any further confidentiality. I think what our Paul was asking was, is there anything more in the documents themselves that would require any confidentiality? I don't think so.
No.
How could they, right?
Right. So we can send these out to the world after this meeting.
I have an objection.
Okay, I'll hear you in a second, Chris. Go ahead.
Okay. When we were going through the KPF Bay page, I think Julia mentioned that there was some problem with the year-over-year revenue report for KPFA in terms of the percentages. I'd ask that we correct that before it ends up becoming an item of consternation,
yeah.
I guess I will say.
This is
good
Julia.
Way to put it. Go ahead, Julia.
That's why I was saying that I would suggest sending the minutes with it, because as I was telling Stephanie earlier today, it's just a personal preference of mine. I don't like to change financial statements that have come out of the system. And so we won't have our audit. We won't be able to enter the audit adjustments until next week. But, I mean, if you want me to type over it, I can type over it.
This is Kim.
Okay.
Well,
I don't think people are going to go to the minutes, James. That's what I wanted to say about that.
So what are you asking for? Hold on one second, Kim. Are you asking for an assurance from Julia that she'll do that correction when she really seems to be saying that?
No, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying is that if these are going to be shared, quote, to the world, unquote, I think what's going to happen is that the financials will go out there. People will ignore the minutes, and this will end up being a hand grenade in the next LSB meeting at KPFA. I mean, I have little doubt of it. But I would prefer to have accurate financials go along with the minutes. In other words, I would prefer that any changes that we need to make to the financial statements be made before they be circulated. If it takes a week, so be it. It takes a week. That's okay.
Well,
I was done.
If everyone's okay with me typing over that, I will do that. That's just
Kim to the stack.
I just wanted to be sure that Beth, Julia and Chris were done with their back and forth that I perhaps mistakenly allowed them to engage in. Were you done, Julia?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, you all can do whatever you want with KPFA and however long you need to take to do it. I want to send out KPFKs to my local finance committee for tomorrow. So I don't care. I don't have to send out the whole thing. We'll just review K. Is that okay?
Is that an acceptable solution for your objection, Chris? Let Julia work on correcting K to A to the extent that she can, and I'd like to hear from her one more time on whether she can do that.
Yeah, I think that'll be all right. It's actually a while before our next LSB meeting anyway. I just worry, people get their hands on these and treat them like gospel, even if they have errors in them, and that's been a problem in the past. I just don't want it to be a problem in the future. That's all.
Understood. Julia, how long might it take you before you feel like you can get that done?
I'll talk to my George tomorrow morning and just make sure that we're cool with typing over it. And if I can do that, Chris, I'll get in touch with you. I guess the issue would be that what people are sharing is that it's one workbook and not an individual workbook. So let me just see if I can get something cleaned out in the morning.
And that would not affect the audits in any way? You can't do that?
No, actually, it's just.
Okay.
But that doesn't answer my question. Can I send out just KPFKs to my local finance committee tomorrow for tomorrow's meeting?
If you pull that tab out, yeah.
Okay.
McFadden.
But our Paul's question was, can we all give it to everybody? So shall we just pull out the KPFA tab and then the rest of it is good for everybody?
No, because that'll mess up everything else.
I'm just going to
pull out K's. It's different for Kim
because she's got a meeting tomorrow night. She needs to get her tab out.
Okay.
All of these spreadsheets feed into the consolidated, so
right.
I need to be able to fix all the formulas to be able to pick up the corrections I make.
Okay, that's what you were talking about, not the audit. Okay, got it. So where does that leave it?
I'm fine.
Kim will do it? Okay.
And I'll send out the updated workbook tomorrow.
Okay, so what's sent out tomorrow, we can send to the world.
Yeah.
McFadden.
I'm glad you clarified.
I'm fine with that, if my opinion matters. I'm fine with that. Thank you.
If your opinion matters, yeah, that's good. Okay, so we're all on board with that. Do we need a motion to that effect, or is that just good enough to have that understanding?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else?
McFadden to the stack.
Go ahead, James.
While all this discussion, I was trying to follow the discussion and then just browsing, and perhaps this got mentioned, I just didn't catch it. I just had one question about the KPFK spreadsheet. There's a line in revenue called website income that's significant for the previous year, and it's zeroed out on this. Did that what caused that change, or is that money incorporated somewhere else, or?
I'll leave that. Yeah, it's all in listener support this year, so the comparison is really those two lines from last year to this year, because we couldn't figure out where this website income was coming from, and it only got pulled out a couple of years ago, and it's all just one line now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, are we good on that? Everybody happy? All right, anything else, Julia, on the financials, or are we good to move on?
We can move on.
Wonderful. Okay, this is a motion to update Pacifica transaction limits. Beth, do you want to bring us up to speed or give us a review of where we stand on that?
Sure. The single clarifying change, or the two changes that I made since the committee last reviewed this motion, are the phrase "not already covered in the budget" in the second paragraph, as indicated in bold and italics, and there was a second phrase in the third paragraph, in case of emergency, in light of the need to provide for continuity of operations. That phrase was added for clarity. Other than that, it's as has been presented before. I can read it again if you'd like me to.
I need to know exactly where this is. Your appendix A, right?
Yes, I can send you a copy separately.
I have what James has sent out. Okay, those appendix, okay, transaction limit policy, and we have a blank, the policy of blank 22 super.
This would have to go to the PMB for approval.
If there's a more appropriate way to indicate the date, I'm open to that. I even asked James ahead of the meeting is it more appropriate to put today's date because this is when we pass it, or do should I suggest the date that the PNB might? You know, I don't know. So I'm prepared to defer on the date if there's if you can suggest the most appropriate way to handle that. I would be happy to follow your
lead. Okay, so this is making a basically this makes it a new motion because we had postponed the previous one. Now we got this one. And I guess this is what's on the floor. So let me see. Yeah.
Because people raised concerns, I did my best to try to address those specific concerns.
Does it need to say, didn't we address exactly this in a previous one where we just say this policy supersedes?
That's been the that's been the motion from the beginning, and we have yet to pass it. That's why pass it, so that it counts.
Why do we need to have a specific date in there for what we're doing? Why can't we just say this policy supersedes?
Because hopefully if we ever get an actual archive in place, it's helpful to know when something passed. I mean, it really gives context to the previous, the fact that the previous motion that or the previous resolution that was finally unearthed was from 2013 gives context to the time and the place and what the considerations were and how long it's been there and how it's due for update and. Because it's the normal thing to do is to date your work.
So,
if it's an obstacle to people's support, then I can let go of that. That's not crucial to the heart of the motion. I just thought it was, you know, best practices to identify what you're doing.
I do think that leaving a blank in there is not so hot. I don't know. What do other people think? What do the directors think since you're going to have to deal with the blank in your motion?
Give them to the stack.
Well, I think our Paul is asking the directors a specific question. Does anybody have a response to our Paul? I'll suggest that I think the intention here was to present a fully formed motion to the PNB, which we all know they can then tinker with it if they wish. But in presenting a fully formed motion, then the date would be inserted as of the date that the PNB passed it, which is why it's left blank now.
I see in the earlier resolution that there is a date of when the resolution passes. That was added by the secretary after it was voted on, so that the date isn't actually embedded in the motion. So I see how it would simplify it to eliminate that date. So I'm content to do that. I don't know whether you want to make that amendment, or I'd be happy to make it if you'd rather. So that it just is this policy.
Well, actually, what we should have been doing is bringing up the motion that we had the last time where we did strike that out already. Are there any other, what are the differences between what we had on the floor on June 14th and what you're presenting to us now?
Those are the two phrases that I mentioned when the discussion began. The first one, in the second paragraph, any and all proposed new transactions in excess of $10,000 per annum not already covered in the budget shall require PNB approval. Someone had said it was not clear to them what that meant in the previous version. I discussed it. I got good advice about proper language. to clarify that, and that's what I use. And hopefully that will make it clearer to people. The other phrase I added, also in response to concerns raised at the last one, was in the third paragraph, in case of emergencies, in light of the need to provide for continuity of operations, the most senior and on. But that's the phrase that I am offering. Someone wanted to know, what problem is this trying to solve? What's the point? Why are we doing this? Continuity of operations is a standard component of any kind of emergency management planning. And in case people can't imagine a circumstance in which this might be necessary, I'd just like to invoke the name of Sandy or Harvey or Katrina, where communications can be down for days. You may not be able to locate
Could I point out that, you know, we're running into a hassle now because we've done something we shouldn't have done. A motion was postponed from June 14th, and that particular motion had already, you know, addressed this issue of a blank. And so we really should have put that in, and if someone wanted to change any of the wording, they could have amended that now. And I think that's what we should be doing right now. Because otherwise you're going to say, hey, what we did last time where we actually amended the motion, that's vapor, that's gone, and that's just not proper.
Kim to the stack.
So, Mr. Chair, I want a ruling on this.
And I would like to phrases as amendments to the
I'm asking the chair for a ruling on this particular thing. Yeah, is this in order, or are we going to do what we postponed, and anybody who wants to can amend that?
It sounds like that would be the proper way to proceed, is to go with what we had previously postponed.
Okay.
And then do these changes now, Beth, rather than having you done them in the interim. Bring back what we had and then make the changes here together as a group and then vote up or down on it. So my ruling would be yes, whatever we postpone to today would be the thing to take up now.
Then I move
and then,
to amend.
Again, these changes, yeah, go ahead.
Then I move to amend the previous motion with the addition of the two phrases as I've indicated.
Okay, before we go to that conversation, I want to say that we are going to be out of time, so I'm going to ask for another extension of 15 minutes, and I want to, in making that, I want to motivate that request by saying that I really would like to get to a very quick discussion of the non-disclosure agreement so we can start to get them back from people so we can go ahead with, you know, discussions that may be required non-disclosure. And I also want to have a very quick discussion of the budget timeline. So I'm asking for another 15 minutes.
So motion to extend.
Motion is to extend the meeting by an additional 15 minutes will bring us to a quarter to the hour, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's good.